Hello, and welcome to Working Together with Kelly Elkins. I'm your host, Kelly Elkins, your Chief Operating Officer for Maine Health. In this new podcast series, I will be joined each episode by guests who are participating on teams focused on how we can further support and enhance how we work together across Maine Health so that we can achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. In particular, we will highlight work we are doing in further development of our operating model for Maine Health and how we are creating structure and processes that make it easier for you to do your work. Today's episode is titled Health Equity and the Social Determinants of Health. You've likely heard about our five-year strategic goal and annual balanced scorecard goals surrounding health equity and the social determinants of health. But how familiar are you with the active work underway in this space? And how are we using this information we are gathering to promote the overall health and well-being of the communities we serve? In today's episode, we'll dive a little deeper into this strategic priority and how everyone at Maine Health is connected to this important work. To join me in the conversation today is my guest, Dora Mills, Chief Community Health Improvement Officer for Maine Health. Welcome to the podcast, hey, Dora.
Thank you so much, Kelly. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So, Dora, as we get started today, could you first walk us through why health equity and social determinants of health are even in our five-year strategic plan for the organization?
Great question. Well, so our overarching goal is that 100% of appropriate patients across the system will be screened for social determinants of health or social drivers of health. We use both terms by the end of our fiscal year 27. Mm-hmm. And the reason why this is important is that what we've learned over the years is when we look at health status of people, 80% of people's health status happens outside of the clinical setting.
Right.
So only about 20% of our health status is actually determined by our health care.
Right.
What we've learned over the years from a number of different studies is that many of these drivers of our health status have to do with social context issues, mm-hmm. such as the stability of our housing, our mm-hmm. ability to put healthy food on the table, our ability to pay utilities, mm-hmm. our access to transportation, things like that, our interpersonal safety. Mm-hmm. So the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, also known as CMS, federal agency, has required hospitals to start screening all inpatients for these drivers of health. And we also were already planning on doing that before the rules, so we beat them to it.
Right.
But mostly because it's the right thing to do. We know that if we're going to achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America, that we need to figure out what social context, social drivers right. are in our patients' lives.
Yeah. So, Dora, I know part of our work in this space goes beyond just some of those social context drivers, right? I think we are taking an additional level in what we call the SOGI space, which if you might expound upon what that means for those who don't understand that acronym, but maybe talk a little bit about the other areas that we believe are important and why we are also incorporating that into our screening work.
Yeah. So we are also, part of our goal is to assess all of our patients in all settings, really, for race, ethnicity, and language, or what we call REL. And then also assess patients for SOGI, or sexual orientation and gender identity. The latter, although it was part of our five-year goal, that's also been passed by the state legislature that by 2026, that they want to see all hospitals, many healthcare providers really assessing that. So we are doing all of these assessments or screenings for social drivers of health, for race, ethnicity, language, and sexual orientation and gender identity. Over the next several years, we're implementing these in both inpatient and outpatient settings. And then, of course, looking at what to do about these.
Right, right. So you talked a little bit about the importance of the kind of the social context drivers. Why is it also important to capture that data in the REL and SOGI space?
Well, it's like the same thing. So social, those are also considered drivers of health, mm-hmm. right? That we don't necessarily have traditionally assessed.
Right.
So, you know, when I went to medical school, I mean, it was all about asking patients, you know, if they came in for a physical example, as an example, you know, so what brings you here today? Do you have any pains, any
right.
aches, you know, questions? It was really about trying to find signs of disease and trying
right.
to address it. And what we realize over time is that actually these other drivers, with the color of people's skin, you know, even though that's a social construct and really biologically doesn't impact their health status significantly, you know, race, it shouldn't
right.
biologically do it. But we know that race is a major factor in mm-hmm. this country driving health status. And so realizing what people's racial background is, what their ethnicity mm-hmm. is, what their sexual orientation and their housing and transportation
yeah.
situations, all that helps us to address those issues, make sure that we're looking at, so I look at it a couple of ways. So for one thing, for an individual person, patient, if we know they're having housing issues or we know that they're a racial minority, that helps us to address some of those factors that that are impacting their health.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, as a system, we can look across and look to see, okay, so if we look at all of our health outcomes data for just, say, example, cardiovascular disease, and as an example, let's look at by race,
mm-hmm.
That's going to give us important information to know, are we addressing all races, people of all different races, equitably mm-hmm. when it comes to cardiovascular health? Because what we know from national studies is that that doesn't happen.
Right.
So it's going to help inform our strategies.
Yeah.
And then we look at our community partners, because of course our vision is working together. Right,
right, right.
So as an example, we just had a meeting a couple weeks ago with about 200 community members from different community-based organizations, sharing with them some of our preliminary screening data for social drivers of health. And saying, you know, because we refer a lot of patients with issues to these community-based organizations. So working with them to say, okay, how's it going so far? Are we referring appropriately? Are you mm-hmm. getting overwhelmed? And what can we do together to move
right.
the needle? It's not just addressing individual patients' health-related social needs, but how do we work together to inform policymakers what the stories are that the data are telling us?
Right.
And how do we work together to move the needle?
Right. Great. So our goal on the balance scorecard, and even the five-year goal, as you stated, is it's about the percentage of our patients, right,
yes.
that we are screening and capturing this data on. So how is that effort going? How are we being successful in capturing the majority of our patients' information?
Yes. In fact, I am very excited to share that, yes, we are very successful. And that is really due to the team effort.
Yeah.
I mean, this is everybody at Maine Health plays a role in this.
Yeah.
I can't emphasize that enough. The steering committee, for example, that I convened last spring, about a year ago, to implement the screening for social drivers of health in inpatient settings, we have 26 people on that steering committee.
Wow.
There is very interprofessional. I have learned so much from them. It includes nursing and social work and mm-hmm. Marketing and communications and Epic. I mean, all kinds of different people. And we could not have done this without working together like
right.
that. But because I think of that team, that interprofessional team effort that's been across the system, we have been very successful. So as an example, when you look at the overall metrics of screening for race, ethnicity, language, and social drivers of health, particularly food insecurity in outpatient settings, right now, the top of the metric, we're at about 80%
wow.
of our patients
yeah.
being screened for those. We just started screening in inpatient settings for five sets of social drivers of health, housing, food insecurity, transportation, interpersonal safety, and inability to pay utilities. And so that's not on the top of the metric yet. It's a lagging
mm-hmm.
indicator. But only 4 months into it, we're screening about over 70% of
wow.
our inpatients. That's a heavy lift. I mean, these are five sets of questions
right.
that are being asked of almost all of our inpatients as they're being admitted. So
yeah.
I'm very proud of the team that has implemented this. So it's been a very successful endeavor so far. And what I would say that we're also been very humbled by some of the results.
Oh, yeah.
So just as an example, those five social drivers of health that we're now screening all inpatients for, so far about one in five of our inpatients screen positive for one of those.
Yeah.
And if you screen positive for one, you're more likely to screen positive for another. So we have about 10% screen positive for each of food insecurity, housing instability, and transportation access issues. And then we've also looked at, Spring Harbor as an example, our behavioral health patients, our psychiatric patients. That's about 70% screen positive for one of those versus overall it's one in five.
Yeah.
So we're already realizing how important it is to screen and that, and so I think we'll do a lot more with the data as time goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking about doing a lot more with the data, and as you mentioned, we're already getting kind of early trends and information, and you talked about the recent forum with community partners, but from the Maine Health perspective and perhaps with those community partners, what do you see as the main areas of focus for us in this work over the next several years? Because we know we alone, as you mentioned, due to our vision statement, we alone can't solve all of the challenges that are out there. So what's emerging for you and your team as the areas where we can probably be the most impactful?
Oh, it's a great question. So of course, we want to address all of these problems, but we can't.
Right.
So, and there's a couple of things that have come up. So one is that some studies across the country show that even if you can't directly address some of these social drivers of health, like somebody's housing insecurity, the fact that you're asking actually has a positive impact. And the theory as to why that is helpful is that if a care team knows about some of these social drivers of health, the context in which people are living and they're struggling to live, that actually informs the care for that, the health care that they're delivering. So that is helpful. Yeah. So that's one thing. The second thing is that in working with the Maine Health Board several years ago, when we started into this area, we talked about what would Maine Health's priorities be, because we can't solve all of these issues, even working together. And the board decided with a number of others that we would really focus on food insecurity in terms of the work that we might not just partner with others to do, but also do directly. So we have three food pantries, Franklin, Stevens, and outside of near Maine Med. And that's not the full answer to food insecurity, but it is providing some assistance. We also provide food bags, emergency food bags, or 3 days worth of non-perishable foods that are healthy for people when they screen positive. And we refer them to SNAP and WIC and work very much in partnership with many others, including Good Shepherd Food Bank, local other local food pantries, and Hannaford's supermarkets and others. So that's an area of social drivers of health that we are in the sandbox doing some, but partnering a lot. I would say with the others, our main role, like housing and transportation and the like, our main role in those social drivers of health is mostly around, I would say, partnering, advocacy, awareness building. So as the, that's why we had the meeting a couple of weeks ago, work with our partners to say, here's what the data are showing so far. And what stories are these data telling us that we should tell together, that we should raise awareness about? So we have kind of several buckets. One is a doing in partnership, obviously, but then another bucket of roles is advocacy, working with others to advocate and to support, you know, so it's not that we have to stay in our swim lane exactly, but we are a healthcare health organization.
Yeah.
We're not a housing
organization.
So we have to be careful where our expertise is.
Yeah, absolutely. One last question for you. So obviously when asking about the social drivers of health, definitely race, ethnicity, language. I imagine as we move into the SOGI space, For some individuals, that may be something they're very comfortable answering. For others, not so much. How, because we're doing well, right, with capturing, but how are patients responding to the request for this information, and how are we helping individuals understand why, right, why we're seeking this information?
No, it's a great question, Kelly, and you're absolutely right. We have had some pushback in some places, and I'll be honest, including some of our rural areas around asking people's race. Because we in a predominantly white population and people will say, well, wait a minute, you're asking me my race, can't you tell I'm white? You know, we've had that kind of pushback. Marketing communications has been very helpful to us, as well as our BIPOC committee, which has helped to inform us, like, how can we communicate with people to say why this is important? And so we do have some scripting that we've shared with our care team members who are asking the questions. We've also had some trainings that basically help them to precede the the asking of the question with knowing that they might get some pushback, you know, just to say, hey, we're asking this of all patients and we believe these are important questions having, because we know that these can impact your health. And you may think I might know the answer, but we're asking these questions of everybody. So, and that's helped a lot to mitigate the pushback that we've gotten. And I think generally the feedback has been very positive. People, even if they're answering negative to most things where they say, no, I don't have a problem with housing, whatever, I think they're appreciative that we're asking. Because they're realizing we're not just here worried about the pain in the elbow. You know, that they're actually where we care about their overall health and realize that they may be living, working in conditions that are very challenging and are impacting their health. And while we can't, we don't have all the answers to those, we can adjust our health care accordingly to help as much as we can. And we can partner with others to help address their issues directly and also partner with others to help move the needle across our communities. So that we achieve our vision.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I think when we started, you referenced the percentage of, you know, really your biological health, you know, really is only about 20% of what drives your actual health outcomes or conditions. But that is that 20%, you know, not that 20%, but it's the 80% that's really what is driving, I think, a lot of our, you know, increased cost in healthcare as an industry. And so it is important for us to also say with this data, not only how can we assist and help those in those spaces, but ultimately I think long-term that helps us craft what our care delivery system needs to look like and where we will need to put investment to address things differently, to really meet the needs impacted by those drivers.
So. Oh, I couldn't have said it better, Kelly. That's absolutely right. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Dora, and talking a little bit more about this extremely important strategic priority for us in the organization. As you mentioned, truly, it is the epitome of our vision statement, which is working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kelly. It's been a joy to be here with you. Thank you.
I hope that you found this episode informative and provides a deeper insight into one of our major areas of focus as we continue to enhance how we work together as MaineHealth to achieve our vision of working together so that our communities are the healthiest in America. Thank you and have a great day.